Turn, please, if you would, to the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians chapter 4. This is my text, but I will also be giving you a good number of verses today, so it's kind of a text message following a text plus a topical message in a sense. So anyway, Philippians chapter 4. I want to read verse 6 and verse 7, very familiar verses, but we trust it's a blessing to your heart today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, after reading our text, you might be thinking, "Oh no, not another lesson on prayer." But I submit unto you that this subject should never grow weary. In fact, I don't think we could emphasize this subject enough. Prayer is an integral part of the Christian life. And without this key element, we will suffer spiritually. So once again, I address the topic of prayer. Now, this time will be slightly different than in the past because I intend to arm you with the general principles regarding our communication with God. And yes, we should know these things. But more than that, it will be my intention to speak again on this subject next week with the intent of taking the general observations and plugging them into our everyday life. And if you are unlearned in this area, I pray that these things will be of great interest to you. And if you're well-schooled upon this subject, I pray this will be a good reminder. Either way, it is my objective to discuss the matter of prayer. So the title of the message is that one word, prayer. And that's what we're going to concern ourselves today, and Lord willing, next week. I shouldn't have announced that, but I did anyway. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word to our hearts and just draw us unto you. Help us as we look into your word. Let us find great encouragement and strength. Let us learn the lessons and the principles that you have for us in regard to this matter of prayer. And Lord, let us take this subject very seriously and let us find application of it into our lives, that we would be a people of prayer. And Lord, we know that you're a God of prayer and that you hear prayer and you answer prayer. And Lord, just help us to be responsive. We do pray if there's any in our midst today that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, that they might be saved. And yet, Lord, today as we come together in your name and we think about this topic that is before us, help us as your people to love you and to seek your face and to communicate with you. And Lord, we'll do so through prayer. And we ask this in Jesus' name and amen. Well, I want to think about our text for just a few moments, and then I will give you the list of items that we have to share with you today. They are on the outline that's in the bulletin. And you'll be able to take that with you and keep that with you and add that to next week's, and you'll have a good set of information there in regard to prayer. We look into chapter 4, the book of Philippians, and in verse 6, and it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." We see that word careful. Be careful for nothing. The word careful there means to use careful thought. It is to concern oneself. It comes from a Greek root word, which means an anxious interest. And so generally, as preachers will say, like a verse like this will say, well, be careful for nothing. Well, worry about nothing. Or be anxious over nothing. Don't be anxious over that. And the extent of this is that word nothing. Should I worry about anything? No, because the Bible says, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious over anything. And as the King James has for us, be careful for nothing. By the way, this is in the imperative, which means it's a command. We are commanded, don't worry over anything. But I know that's easier said than done. And so what we recognize is here that we need to be don't worry about anything, but then we need to pray over everything the text tells us. Because really, truly, if we worry about things, what is the effect of that? We become very anxious. One of the things that's destroying us in our society, our health, is the matter of what we call stress. And stress is very debilitating. Stress can really hurt us in many ways. And it will affect you physically, it will affect you psychologically, emotionally. Stress has a lot of impact upon us. And where do we get that stress? Well, when we're trying to handle everything ourselves, and we're worried about everything, and we're just trying to figure it all out, it ain't quite working out the way we want it to work out. And so what Paul commands these people is to be anxious over nothing. Do not worry about anything. I would remind you of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." What a precious promise that is, to trust God. And don't rely upon our own thinking. Isaiah 26:3, one of my favorite verses, says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee." If I'm worrying about things, I'm not trusting God. And so I want to trust Him. And we're being told in this text, do not worry over anything. But of course, in the latter part of verse 6, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So worry about nothing. Pray over everything. Now there are three expressions that we see within this verse here in the matter of prayer. It says, everything by prayer, supplication, and then thanksgiving. And that word prayer is the matter of praying. We need to pray over everything, but also the issue of supplication, to implore for others. It is to be an intercessor for others and for the needs of others. And so we can intercede. We have prayer and supplication, but then also with thanksgiving. We ought to be a thankful people, a grateful people. We never should see God as a glorified Santa Claus of gimme, 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 gimme. We should go to God. We should pour out our heart before the Lord. And we have verse references that we'll be noticing that will teach us that very thing. And there's nothing wrong with making your request be made known before God. But if all it is just give me, give me, give me, and you never stop to thank Him and to praise Him and to glorify Him, then you're falling short in this matter of prayer. And so we want to pray over everything. Don't worry about everything, but we want to pray over everything. And so we are to ask, we are to intercede, and we are to praise. Let me make three quick statements here. Number one, in all things we should see our insufficiency and the need for prayer. That is, we come up short, there are problems in our life, there are troubles that rise up, we are insufficient, so we do need to pray. Secondly, in all things we should see our inability and turn to the Lord for assistance. Okay, we have these problems, we have these troubles, we have these things that come up in our lives. I cannot fulfill these, and so I need to turn to God. And so when we see our inability and we're not going to try to accomplish it in our own way, in our own power, then we will turn to the Lord. So instead of worrying about all that thing and trying to fix it yourself, we pray to God. And so we knew we have this need. We turn it over to Him. The third statement is this: in all things we should see our inadequacy. Inadequacy. And by that I mean our ill-deserving. We are ill-deserving. We need to see that we're inadequate, and we thank God for every blessing. Truth is, we do not deserve to be blessed. That's one of the problems we have in contemporary society, is that they feel like that everything is owed unto them. I deserve this, and I deserve that, and it's my right, and you owe me. Truth is, God doesn't owe us anything, and He doesn't have to bless us, but He chooses to bless us. And so the good thing is, when we see these problems, these troubles, and we see that we cannot do it, so we turn to God, and we rely upon Him, we cast these cares at His feet, then we have to recognize at the same time, God, I know that You don't have to do this. I know You don't owe me, but I'm asking You to bless. And I thank You for when You do, and I thank You for all Your goodness and the provision which You give to me. We are to cast, 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you." And so, what do we see in this text? Paul writes to the Philippians, and he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And so, we must have faith, we must have trust. In regard to the need, rely upon our God with those necessities. And then in verse 7, what we find are some results. And the peace of God, and we're going to emphasize this more next week, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so if we'll trust in Him, rely upon Him, pray as we're being taught to pray, God's peace will be given to us. Don't you like to have the peace of God in your heart? Peace will be given to us, and such peace is beyond human comprehension. It says this peace passes all understanding. And you know, other people will look at Christians, they'll look at us, and they'll go, I don't understand how they can be at peace with that. Well, they don't understand it, and we might not understand it, but God gives us peace because we trust in Him, we rely upon Him, we turn it over to Him. And this kind of peace prevails over anxiety. And so, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That which passes understanding, it shall keep us. But then notice that last part of verse 7, the resource for this peace, it says, that shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Where am I going to find peace? By turning to the Lord and casting my care at His feet and trusting Him with it. So that's a brief overview of the passage. That's the instruction we find from the Apostle Paul. The command for us to worry over nothing, pray over everything. And if you'll do that, and you'll trust God, God will give you a peace that passes all understanding. And my, what a comfort that is. We could stop right there, but we're not going to do that. You came today to hear a sermon, and we're going to give you some Bible here today that will, I trust, will help you as you think about this matter of prayer. Again, if you're well-versed in this, when you just say, well, praise God, I'll just remember some of these things, and I'll be blessed to be reminded of it. And maybe this is new to you. Well, you can look at the outline. You can write these verses down. Understand prayer. And so the rest of my message, I have 13 things I want to invite you to turn to look at. So that'll take just a few minutes, but we have enough time here today. Other lessons regarding prayer. The first place I invite you to turn is Hebrews chapter 4. And when we think about this matter of prayer, and we just really mentioned it just a moment ago, in that, we're going to find our peace through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to turn to the Lord. But Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16 tells us our resource. Who is it that we need to turn to? Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus Christ, our great high priest, suffered. He knows exactly what we're going through. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You can see that in verse 15. Because of Christ and His provision and His understanding, His acknowledgement, verse 16, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. At any time, with any need, big or small, our resource is God. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking for help from a family member or asking the preacher or asking a neighbor. There's nothing wrong with getting assistance. But I'll tell you, your main source for your cares, for your life, for your daily walk, especially as a believer, is God. I encourage you to seek the face of God. God is, what is your will? What is your way? What would you have me to do? How should I respond to this? How should I proceed? And so you need to seek God. And we'll discuss some of those kind of things next week as we try to make it more to the real world. But the Bible tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come before God to get what we need. God is our resource. Back in our text, point number two, as I've indicated unto you, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer. Do not be anxious over anything. Pray over everything. That's a command. And so the second point is prayer is commanded. Commanded. 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul writing to Timothy, and this is well applies to us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. Do you find here a command that we ought to be praying for other people? Giving intercession? Making supplications? Giving of thanks? Should we be praying? Yes, we ought to be a people of prayer. But then if you would, go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. First lesson is, God is our resource. Second lesson is, we are commanded to pray. Third is, when we pray, we want to pray in accordance with God's will. And I'll tell you, my friend, this really is a key element when it comes to the matter of prayer. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, we read this. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And so we have this matter of we want to ask things in according to God's will. Have you prayed and you prayed with faith, but it never came about? Do you know why that is? Because it wasn't God's will. We want to pray. If we pray in the things that are according to God's will, then He does hear us. And if He hears us, we know that we have what we ask of Him. And we'll mention this a little bit further on in just a moment. But the desire is then, as a child of God, you want to be in tune with God. And the problem is in this life, and we'll touch on this a little bit later as well, we don't always know the answers. We don't always have the right directive. And so we're unclear about it. And that's where we'll pray, God, if it is Your will. Because we really don't know what that will is. But I'll tell you, my friend, if we get on base with God and in touch with Him and we know what His will is, we can pray in accordance with His will. And if we pray in accordance with His will, He will hear us. He will answer. And so if I'm praying a bunch of prayers and none of it's being answered, then it's not according to His will. And so we need to keep seeking His face and seeking what His will would be. Go back to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. So what we want to do when we pray is we want to seek to know what God's will is so that we can pray according to God's will. We often say that prayer changes things. Well, prayer does change things to some degree because, and we'll see this a little bit later on, if we don't pray, we don't receive. But fact of the matter is, what prayer really does, it changes us. Because we want to be in right with Him. And so, if we're praying and God's answering, we know that we're in line with Him. We're corresponding with Him. So we want to pray in accordance with God's will. But then in John chapter 14, where I've invited you to turn, fourth lesson on prayer is, we need to ask in Jesus' name. That's just a simple statement here, what we read in verse 13. Jesus, speaking to His disciples, says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you will ask anything in My name, I will do it." And so the idea is, and it's just not a moniker we throw in there, oh, well, in Jesus' name, and all of a sudden this is going to be the automatic answer because we said it. The idea is, this is for His namesake, for His honor, for His glory. If you ask anything in My name, then I will do it. Now let me ask you this. Can you ask something in His name but not be according to His will? Can you do that? Well, you can't, because He says if you ask anything according to will, He'll do it. So you can't say, oh, I'm going to ask it in Jesus' name, but it's not according to His will. He still has to do it because I've asked it in His name. Does that make sense? It doesn't work that way. If you're going to ask it in Jesus' name, it still has to be according to His will. Does that make sense? And so just don't feel, and some people believe that, well, I'll just throw in Jesus' name at the end of my prayers and God has to do it because He said that if you ask anything in My name, I'll do it. And that's a misapplication of these verses. But we do know that if we pray, we want to pray according to His will. We do want to ask it in Jesus' name. And if I go back to James chapter 4, and I've already alluded to this, but James chapter 4, we do want to have the right motive. Sometimes we ask the right thing, we have the wrong motive. And so that kind of confuses things for us. Never confuses God. But James chapter 4, I would remind you what he says in verse 2 and verse 3. This is point number 5. We need to have the right motive. James 4:2 says, "You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not." Why? Because you ask not. "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust." And so what it is a person gets the idea, well, I know what I want, But you never ask. Well, if you don't ask, you're never going to receive. He says, you have not because you ask not. But then he says, but then you ask, and so a person gets to the place where they know what they want, they have this burden, desire, whatever the situation might apply, and so they pray about that, they ask about that, but he says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. It's all about you. It's not in Jesus' name, because, well, you might use the names, you might use the word, but it's not really for His honor, for His glory, it's all about me. Lord, what can you do for me? How can you make it better for me? And how can I be best served here? And when we're the center of that, we're off base. We want to be able to be in the place, and that's where prayer changes us, because it'll take us to the place where, Lord, not my will be done, but yours be done. And if you choose to bless me, then I want to be blessed. But if you choose not to, then that's okay too. Give me the grace, give me the honor, give me the glory to live for you in this life. But I want to have the right motive. And so you're praying for that lost family member to be saved. Well, that's a good prayer, but maybe you're praying for that in a selfish fashion. Well, if that family member got saved, my life would be much easier. Well, where's the motive behind that? The motive is, well, we want them to be saved, but it's really about me. So it's a wrong motive. And so we need to search our hearts before God so that we would ask according to His will, asking in His name and having the right motive. Then I want to go on to point number six, and turn, if you would, to Matthew 21. And this is kind of a backdoor lesson, but it's here in the Scripture. So what we're going to look at is this story in the text. But this is an indicator of we want to ask believing. Ask believing. A reference verse can also be made, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. We'll not look into that text. We've already made reference to that verse anyway. But to Matthew chapter 21, and in verse 18 down through verse 22, we're going to look at. First of all, notice the occasion that's being presented within the text. Verse 18, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem. He's coming back to the temple. It says, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And so that's the occasion. Notice what happens, the rebuke. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And so the occasion was, he comes, there's nothing on there. The rebuke is, you wither up. The result is, it did exactly what Jesus said it would do. And so he cursed the fig tree, and it dries up from the roots. Verse 20 is the response. And when the disciples saw it, they witnessed it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And so they see this, and verse 21 tells us the ability. They're amazed. Wow, look what happened. Here's the ability, verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, here's a lesson on prayer. If ye shall have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. Do you recognize that this is an issue of faith? Faith, you have to ask believing. Believing. So the lesson is very clear in verse 22. And in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And so notice the availability in all things. And all things. That's the availability. Applies to everything, doesn't it? If you're asked, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. So the availability, the asking, the assurance, believing. Can you pray believing? Then acceptance, you shall receive. But let me ask you, can you ask believing, but ask believing in something that's not according to God's will you still receive it? You will not. You know why? Because it's not according to His will. But you believe it. I know you believe it. And so what you do is you take this verse out and you say, that's my key verse right there, and I'm going to just believe it to my soul. Many years ago, I used to work in a machine shop. The first day I walked into that place to put in an application, there was a lady sweeping out the vestibule there, and she says, I'm a millionaire. And I said, you are? What are you doing sweeping the floor? And she says, well, I'm not yet, but I will be. Well, what it is a publisher's clearinghouse, you know. And I worked that place 4 years, and she swept floors all 4 years. To my knowledge, she never did a publisher's clearinghouse, but she convinced that she was. I'm already a millionaire. She was trying to name it, claim it. You have to be very careful about this. You can ask believing, but if it's not according to God's will, you're not going to have it. You can ask believing, but if it's not in Jesus' name for His honor and for His glory, you're not going to have it. If you ask believing, but you have the wrong motive in it, and it's all about you, you're not likely to get it. You see, you have to tie all these things together. Can you really ask believing if you don't know it's His will? It's very difficult. I've told you before, I believed with all my heart this one guy, he's going to give me his car. I needed a car. I was in college, and so I figured I was taking the verse. And I went to the guy, no joke, I went to the guy and said, I made an arrangement, went to the parking lot, and said, well, that's a nice car. I said, I'd like for you to give me your car. He said, well, I can't do that. I said, well, yeah, you can. Why can't you do that? And it's a tax exemption, which I know better now that it wasn't, but I thought it was. And I said, it's a tax exemption. He says, oh, no, I still can't give it to you. You know, I walked away without a car. And I embarrassed myself real good in front of that fella, real well in front of that fella. You know why? Because I had a misunderstanding of the Scripture. That car was all about me. It wasn't God's will. If it was God's will, He'd have given it to me. It wasn't God's will. And so I didn't get it. But I believed it. I've encountered individuals who find fault with God because they've offered up prayers before God, believing, and they believe it with all their heart, and it doesn't come to pass, and they say to themselves, I know I believed. God is the one that failed. I've had people tell me that. Do not do that. Do not get to that area. Learn about prayer. But you do need to ask believing. But if you don't know His will, it's pretty hard to believe it without any doubts, is it? And to be quite honest with you, I've never cast any mountains into the sea, and neither have you. Boy, we lack in faith, don't we? We need to have faith in our prayer. Well, then also, number 7, let me remind you this verse. We need to have fervent prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16, the last part of that verse actually tells us, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5, verse 16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectually fervent. Bubbling over. How many times have you prayed about something, you prayed one time and forgot all about it? That's not effectual fervent, is it? You prayed once and then it just never came back to your heart and your mind. Not effectual fervent. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And so what we want to have is we want to have the elements that we've already described as well as effectually fervent prayers. It ought to mean something to you. Ought to be stirring in your heart. God, my heart's broken here. But not only that, number 8, our prayers ought to be continual. Have an attitude of prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. I know it's a very short verse, but I asked you to turn there so that you would look at it. And it says, pray without ceasing. Have the attitude of prayer. Now that does not mean that you have to close your eyes and bow your head. Because while you're driving down the interstate and you're going on the loop, you want to certainly be praying because this is a death trap out there. But you need to be praying, but you cannot pray with your eyes closed. Can you? Well, you can, but I think that would be very disastrous. Do not get on the interstate praying with your eyes closed. Or don't bow your head. But pray and watch and pray. You know, I mean, be looking as you go, but pray. Pray without ceasing. It's a matter of have a continual sense of prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, if you go back a few pages, the latter part of verse 18. We'll just read the whole verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We need to be praying. We need to be watching. We need to be interceding for others. But praying with all prayer and supplication. Praying always, he says. Always. It's a good thing to pray. And I don't know about you, but I recognize in my Christian walk and over my experience that some of the greatest times that I got in trouble is because I failed to pray. I failed to ask God, God, what do You want here? What is Your will? What is best for You and for Your kingdom and for me and my service? God, what is Your will? We need to have the attitude of prayer. Go if you would. There's an example given in Luke chapter 18. And preachers will use the word importunate. We don't hardly connect with that word too much. But the importunate prayer is the kind of prayer where you keep on praying where it just kind of bugs them enough to where they just respond to it. Kind of like your kid when they come to you saying, hey, Mom, hey, Mom, hey, Mom, hey, Mom. And you keep saying no. And finally you just said, man, I can't take this anymore. And you do it. That's called importunate. And but Jesus offers a case of importunate prayer, Luke chapter 18. I've invited you to turn over there. We'll just look at the text. And notice what he says in the passage, and then I'll give you two other verse references that I'll read to you. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said unto himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And Jesus uses this as an example to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Now when God gives you a definite no, then you give up. But my friend, until you know what God's will is, you can keep right on asking. And so have an attitude of prayer, a continual perspective upon prayer. Let me read to you Romans chapter 12 and in verse 12. Romans 12, 12, we learn this. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continual attitude, perspective of prayer. Colossians chapter 4, let me read to you verse 2. Colossians 4, 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Do you get the idea you ought to pray? You know, at the beginning of this service, we sang Sweet Hour of Prayer. Don't answer out loud, but when's the last time you took an hour in prayer? I remember as a young person growing up, and after I was saved when I was 15, I was in the church, and you know what? I never spent that much time in prayer ever. And I remember we had a revival services coming up, and they were going to have the church open for prayer all night long. And you could sign up for certain segments of prayer, and they had prayer lists. And people would come in different times of the day and night, and they were praying for revival, praying for this list. And I remember going in there, and they had this prayer list, and I went up to the altar of the church there, and I got that prayer list, and I prayed through that prayer list, and I got done, looked up, it was 40 minutes, and I about fell over. Wow, I actually prayed 40 minutes! Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. I'll tell you, we ought to be praying continually. Have the attitude of prayer. And the older I've become, the more mature I've become in the things of God, I've found the value of prayer and the time to spread to use in prayer. Prayer is essential. You're just not going to be what God would have you to be if you neglect the area of prayer. And so, the lesson on prayer is effectual, fervent. Number 7, number 8, it is continual. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, I just have a few of these left. We'll be done, but I've offered you, I said there were 13. I'm on number 9, so we're just about finished. Matthew chapter 7, there is a promise response. Aren't you glad for God making promises? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asks receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. But it will always be in accordance with His will. Always, always in His name with the right motive. Because if you ask, seek, and knock, and it's absolutely wrong, then you're not going to get it unless God's going to punish you because of it. Well, which, by the way, if you keep crying unto God for things that are wrong, God can give that to you in order to teach you and to train you. Just like sometimes you'll let your child get their own way for the purpose of an educational moment. Don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. But I want to. And okay, you go do it. Do it this way and we'll see what happens. And so, of course, you know they're going to fail. You let them fail for a teaching moment. And God will do that with us. And so, but He said that ask, seek, and knock. Isn't that a great promise? That's okay to claim that promise. You ought to claim that promise. We need to pray. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8, point number 10. I want to remind you as well, and I'm so glad for these verses, and that is that in the matter of prayer, there's intercession by the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad for this. Because If you're anything like me, you've asked things that were wrong. You thought they were right, but they were wrong. Aren't you glad you didn't get it? And you look back and you go, well, I'm really glad that God didn't hear me. At the time, you were upset, but you found out later. Well, Romans chapter 8, what we'll find in verse 26 and verse 27 is, I'm so glad for God's intercession. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he knoweth, or he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I'm so glad for that. So you're sitting there praying, God, give me, give me, give me. And God says, man, that's not good for you. I'm not going to give it to you. And what happens is the Holy Spirit, I believe this is what the text is telling us, ours, we're saying, give me, give me, give me. And the Holy Spirit takes that prayer and turns it around. And by the time it gets to the judgment, to the seat of Christ, it's don't give me. Because the Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. And so we're saying, Lord, do this. We don't know what His will is. And we're saying, Lord, Your will be done. The Spirit will make that appropriate because He knows what the Father's will is. I'm glad for that. We can know His will and we can offer in prayer in His will. And we should. But sometimes we're wrong. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, it says. But I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit that fixes that. That keeps me from asking and getting stuff that's not right for me and not for God's honor and for His glory. And then number 11, I want to mention unto you this: our prayer can be hindered by sin. The text is Psalm 66, verse 18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And frankly, you can ask and receive not because you ask amiss, or you can ask and receive not, and it's perfectly according to God's will, but because you have known sin in your life that you're catering to cultivating, well, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Lord will not hear me. It will hinder our prayers. Sin hinders our prayers before God. Associated reference will not read, but 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 through verse 22. Point number 12, prayer is exampled by Jesus. We're not going to look into these verses, but if you look into the text, and these are on the outline, but Jesus prayed early in the day. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, He prayed during the day. Mark chapter 6, verse 46 and verse 47, and He prayed late at night. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, we have Jesus praying morning, noon, and night. I mean, all throughout the day, instant in prayer. He was in continual communication with His Father. And that ought to be our desire. I encourage you, dear Christian friend, I don't know how much you pray. You might pray constantly. I don't know. God knows that. But if you're failing in the area of prayer, I fail in the area of prayer, may God speak to our hearts to recognize, boy, I need to seek God's face and I need to come before Him. And I need to know His will in order to do that. One last thing in regard to this, Matthew chapter 18. And I just want to make this last point. Because it's in regard to prayer, lessons on prayer. We'll pick up the subject next week. But Matthew chapter 18, I just want to remind you that corporate prayer, as we pray together in the church, corporate prayer is effectual. Now the same rules and principles and guidelines will still apply. But corporate prayer is effectual. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 says, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If you look at the context, it's very evident. It's a church context. It's a matter of people getting together in a corporate context. Corporate prayer is effectual. Oh, by the way, you just can't yank that out and say, oh, well, it says if you two or more ask, then it has to be done. Can you ask and not be in accordance to God's will He do it? No, He won't, because it's not in accordance to His will. Is it going to be for our own consumption? No, He's not going to answer that. You say, but it says two or more. I believe it with all my heart. Yeah, but you have to think to all the other verses and plug it in and know what prayer is about and know why it is. But I encourage you to pray. I really do encourage you to pray. Why? Because prayer is usually anemic in the Christian life. One of the first things to go in our walk away from God is prayer. And so we need to pray. It says, by God's grace, we'll stay close. So there is a great need for us to pray. And we need to pray effectual prayers. And by God's grace, next week I shall try to teach the reality of prayer next time. And, hopefully bring the rubber to the road. And the examples will make a difference for you, I trust. But we have the lessons on prayer I believe are helpful for me and for you to be reminded of these things. And oh, I encourage you to seek God's face. Let's stand. Father, again, we come before you thanking you for what you've done, thanking you for what you're going to do. I pray that you just touch our hearts to connect with that which was said today and help us to learn, help us to grow. Let us be a people that love you and to seek your face in prayer and to do so biblically. And we know that your will be done. We just thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, we love you. We pray for the lost that they might be saved. Help them to recognize that they are alienated from you. And Lord, you don't hear the prayer of the wicked. We pray that you would convict them, draw them, grant to them eternal life that they might be saved. And then they would have a relationship with you in which, Lord, you would indeed hear. And so we just commit this to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 428. 428.